The topics and opinions expressed in the following show are solely those of the hosts and their guests and not those of W4CY Radio, its employees, or affiliates. We make no recommendations or endorsements for radio show programs, services, or products mentioned on air or on our web. No liability, explicit or implied, shall be extended to W4CY Radio or its employees or affiliates. Any questions or comments should be directed to those show hosts. Thank you for choosing W4CY Radio.
Draw me close to you. Never let me go. And lay it all down again. To hear you say that I'm a friend. You are my desire. No one else will do. No one else will do.
Good day. The Almighty Creator desires a deep, personal relationship with you. The Creator has said regarding unbelievers, "Why would I want someone to spend eternity with me in heaven when they do not believe I exist?" So if you're listening to this and you don't believe in the reality of the Creator, then you might want to rethink that, because you're certainly not going to end up in heaven unless you decide to come to a deep revelation of his reality and his existence. Almighty has also said concerning believers, "Why would I want someone to be close to me in heaven?" Which inherently means I will give them great prestige and authority if they do not have a deep personal relationship with me and have not proven to me that they can be trusted in this life. So if you're a believer and you're not actively seeking to serve the Almighty and draw close to him, you might also like to think about that, because you could end up a long way from the throne. Today's topic is a continuation of the last few programs, 7 components of drawing close to the Almighty. This is part 5. We're going to look at component 3, fasting, and we're going to introduce component 4, cleansing. And so we'll get on with that now. Just remind you that the Almighty has said, "I created human beings, this planet and this universe, for men and women to be my friends, my companions, to explore and learn and develop together. My greatest grief is that almost no person understands this, let alone seeks such a relationship with me." This program is about how you can get to such a relationship. Overview of tonight's program, looking at 7 components of drawing close to the Almighty. First component, fasting. We're going to learn that fasting is a critical element of drawing close to Father Yah. We'll look at the variety of forms that a fast can take. We'll take note that it's helpful to rehearse the covenant morning and evening during a fast. We'll note that 7-9 to 9 3-day fasts and 7 to 10 day intervals are powerful and convenient. We'll realize that death with Yeshua is a powerful prayer accompanied with fasting, but not to be prayed lightly. We'll talk about praying for death with Yeshua can lead to death if one loses the anointing. We'll then move on to cleansing. We'll see that we're all defiled when we come to belief, and most believers remain defiled throughout their lives. See that symbolism and metaphor play an important role in the spirit realm. And it is preferable to get help, but most ministers today are also contaminated because of errors relating to the names Jesus, God, the Lord, beliefs about the Bible, beliefs about Jesus, etc. We'll see that demons are the spirits of dead unbelievers. And we'll see that if you're serious about drawing close to Father Yah, it is vital to get rid of all defilement. The processes discussed in the coming weeks will enable you to do this. An introduction. Who am I? My name is James Robertson. I have a PhD in civil engineering. Spent 25 years in South Africa as a strategic management consultant around business information systems. Currently chief operating officer of a group of small companies in the United Kingdom. I've spent 26 years actively seeking to draw close to the Almighty after a dramatic experience with Him in March 1993, which gave me to realize deeply that He was real and that my life was a mess because I'd been ignoring Him. What is End Time Mission Ministries? It's my organizational vehicle for delivering my message, hosts the websites, the email publishing, this radio program, and hopefully within a couple of months there'll be some physical books as well. What is this program? The Creator desires a deep personal relationship with you. This program is designed and intended to help whoever listens to realize that it is possible to have a deep personal relationship with the Almighty, and then to help you to understand how to get there. See my website at www.endtimeissueministries.org for more information. That's www.endtimeissueministries.org. There's a huge amount of information on that website. Questions from last week's program. Number one, how do we know we have the right relationship with the Creator? The simple answer is He will tell you. If you really are in right standing with Him, if you really have a relationship with Him, then one of the things that you will have accomplished in getting there is to learn to hear His voice. Once you can hear His voice, He can point you in the right direction. He can tell you where you're out of line. You have to pray the prayers that I've spoken about in the last few programs, but He will tell you if you're in right relationship with Him. It's up to you to listen. Get on your knees. Hear what He has to say. Take rebuke if rebuke is necessary. Point number two, guess you have a point with that. I don't want to be called by the name of another. Very, very important. And sadly, so many believers don't get it. They just go with, well, I've always known Him as God or the Lord, and He's answered my prayers, so why should I worry about Yahweh or Yahuwah or Yah? Folks, it grieves Him so much. I've seen Him in tears over His name twice. Once because somebody refused to change and get rid of a yahoo.com email address, and once because somebody shut down a Yahoo group because it was Yahoo is a blasphemous name. Please, it's respectful, it's loving, use His correct names. It's Yah, the eternally self-existing, or just Yah. And Yeshua is Yeshua, not Jesus. For respect for both of them, please use their correct names. Question three, how is it they got some names right in the translation but not others? Well, the sad thing is that the names that they got right in the translation are the ones relating to the satanic and demonic realm, and the ones that they got wrong all relate to Father and his matters. Some of it was error. Some of it was people were too scared to put the truth out. Some reports say that early translations did have the truth, but there was so much persecution that they backed away from it. Not absolutely sure of the answer to that one, but human error is basically the answer. Point number four, are you saying we should divorce but not remarry a believer? No, I'm not. I'm saying that if you're married to an unbeliever, you should get divorced and marry a believer. If you're a single woman, there are not enough believing men to go around, so you will probably have to stay single. Point number five, sex should be enjoyable, correct? Absolutely. Anything that is possible between a man and one or more women in covenant sexually is entirely permissible, and you can have really good sex within a covenant relationship. Yah created us to be sexual beings. So all the enjoyable things that you read about in pornography and men, so-called men's magazines, adult magazines, and so forth, is absolutely permissible within your marriage, within your covenant relationship. Outside of that, it's forbidden. So much confusion. People think that Yah doesn't like sex. Not at all. He invented it. point number six, and that brings us back to how do we know things to be the truth. Well, pretty much the same as the first point. If you hear him clearly and you're praying the right prayers, you will come to a point where you know things to be the truth, but it is going to take you some years. You're going to need to do some fasts, and it's going to take time. But if you're really committed and you really let him guide you, he will lead you into truth. But don't just think because you've got a bit of truth here and a bit of truth here that you have all truth. I see so many people who think that they've got truth and they really, really got a lot of error. So tonight we're looking at seven components of drawing close to the Almighty Creator. It's vital to understand how corrupt this world is and how much the forces of darkness, the satanic and demonic realm, are in control of the earth. If one is ignorant of this, one cannot hope to really walk in victory in this life, cannot hope to get close to Father. This series of programs seeks to address in detail the measure that one can take to overcome the corrupt state of the environment in which we're forced to operate. It is vital that you give the Almighty permission to work in your life and to teach you. Otherwise, you will remain in massive error and be defeated at the end of your life. The prayers that I've spoken about in a number of previous programs are just so important for this, folks. And then fasting is a critical component of this. So we're going to look at component three of the seven components of drawing close to Father, and that's fasting. Fasting is an important way of drawing closer to Father. It is also a discipline that many people discount or at least seriously underestimate. Fasting is a way of disciplining your worldly, fleshly self and opening yourself up to hearing more clearly from Father. Regular fasting is non-negotiable if you truly desire to draw close to Father. So those of you who asked earlier about knowing about truth and knowing about right standing, vital to fast on a regular basis. There are a diversity of fasts that are possible, and again, there's no recipe. Remember, each of us are unique, and Father will meet each of us where he deems most appropriate. So the fact that certain fasts work well for me does not mean that you should have to use my model. Allow Father to guide you to the form of fast that he wants you to undertake right now. I strongly recommend that if you have just made a decision to serve Father, you immediately embark on one or more significant fasts in order to get aligned with him as quickly as possible. So let's look at the types of fast. Fasts can take various forms. In its simplest level, a full day, no food or water, 24 hours, 3 days, no food, water only, 7 days, no food, water only, 7 3-day water-only fasts at weekly intervals, 21 days with no food, water only, 40 days with no food, water only. That's the type of fast that Yeshua went on when he was in the wilderness before he started his ministry. Some people fast and drink soups and fruit juices. Others eat vegetables, but no pleasant thing. There are many variations. You need to formulate the variation that works for you. Don't do it presumptuously. Ask Father to show you. I personally believe that the more stringent the fast, in other words, water only, the more effective it is. But and I've no experience with the others because I've always done water only fasts. It is vital to, when you're fasting, to drink plenty of water. Otherwise, you can damage your kidneys. If you drink a lot of coffee, normally a fast will produce serious detox effects. So do not be surprised when you get massive headaches if you're a coffee drinker and you start just drinking water and fasting. It's going to be very unpleasant for the first couple of days. The answer to that is to slowly wean yourself off coffee for a week or so before you go on the fast, and otherwise just sweat it out and might change your view of how much coffee you drink. Continuing with fasting, in all cases as an option, you can take bread and grape juice or wine morning and evenings and rehearse the covenant, or in common language, take communion, sacraments. This is necessary if you need to take medication. You should not be taking medication on an empty stomach. So I take sort of a quarter of a sheet of Jewish matzahs, unleavened baked bread, and about half a glass of grape juice morning and evening, and then I take my tablets on top of that. You can also eat soup once or twice a day. You can eat fruit and vegetables only with no meat or no pleasant things. With any of the above durations or any other duration that Father leads you to. As I say, my preference is water only. Well, with the bread and wine of the covenant. 3 days with a small amount of bread and grape juice morning and evening to rehearse the covenant is relatively easy for most people. Beyond that, 7 days and more becomes challenging and can affect your health. Only undertake a longer fast when you are absolutely certain that Father is leading you to do that. It's important not to just go in and fast for the sake of it. Fast because you believe it's the right thing to do. Fast because you've prayed about it. And do it with the right intentions. Pray the necessary prayers. Pray appropriate prayers. Let's talk a bit about 40-day fasts. There are some people who say that it is not possible to enter into full-time power ministry where one performs miracles and is deeply led by the Spirit of the Almighty without undergoing at least one 40-day water-only fast. I've never done such a fast and I do not have such a ministry. Fact is that if one embarks on a 40-day water-only fast, one is likely to spend the last 2 to 4 weeks in bed unless you're strongly filled with the Spirit of Yah throughout the fast, which means that you need to worship for at least an hour or 2 hours every day of that fast. I've spoken at some length about worship a couple of months ago. Refer you to those teachings. Absolutely vital if you're going to do longer fasts that you worship. Even if you're doing a short fast, you should worship, but the longer the fast, the more important it is. Important to recognize that Yeshua started his ministry with a 40-day water-only fast in the wilderness. I've met an anointed servant who is highly anointed, a very open line of communication with Father, raised about 18 people from the dead over the years, healed, prayed for people and they were healed. Very, very powerful. She had been on 2, if not 3, 40-day fasts over a period of years and was extremely powerful, the most powerful person that I've actually had real contact with. So if you aspire to performing miracles and really touching people in that sort of dramatic way, then you might want to consider doing a 40-day fast. You might even do a 40-day fast again after another 12 months if you really want to get powerful. Most people are not called to that. I certainly don't believe I'm called to that. I've never felt the leading to do a 40-day fast. I haven't even felt the leading to do a 7-day fast. I've done repeated about 6 or 7 now fasts, 3-day intervals, water only, at weekly intervals, 7 to 9 fasts. And I strongly recommend that. It's easy to do. So let's talk about that. I found a series of 7 to 9 3-day fasts and weekly to 10-day intervals highly beneficial. Every time that I've undertaken such a program of fasts, I've received considerable new understanding and revelation and drawn significantly closer to Father. Such a program is easy to follow. It has little impact on one's health and allows one to keep working full days while on the program. I generally have an early supper on Thursday evening and fast through Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, breaking the fast with a late supper on Sunday night. I repeat this regime at weekly intervals for 7 to 9 weeks with minor adjustments. For example, I have a discipline of fasting for 3 days over Halloween, the most evil day of the year, and Satan's High Feast. I also like to fast for 3 days over Christmas, Satan's most effective counterfeit holy day, and over Easter. Both of these are pagan, that is, satanic feasts, which should not be observed in any shape or form by a truly committed believer. One can embark on 9 3-day fasts starting over Halloween and ending up over New Year, which is another pagan feast day. Remember that 9 is the number of judgments, so you may find Yah telling you to speak out judgments as you end near the end of a fast comprising 9 3-day fasts. I've also found that doing a program of 3-day fasts at 7-day intervals, 7 to 9 fasts, has been very beneficial in terms of hearing Father clearly. So I really do commend this type of fast. There's more information on fasting on the website under the Anointed Life menu item. In the absence of clear guidance and assuming that you've just taken a solid decision to draw close to Father, I advise you to embark on 7 3-day water-only fasts with limited amounts of bread, preferably unleavened, and red grape juice or red wine, morning and evenings, coupled to rehearsing the covenant, as set out above, for 6 weeks, starting immediately. Why red wine or red grape juice? It symbolizes the blood of the covenant shed by Yeshua. So please don't use white wine or white grape juice, and certainly not water or some other fluid. The symbolism of the contents of the cup as the blood of Yeshua is really important. And it's really an offense to Yeshua not to do this properly. A proper vessel, cup, chalice, wine glass, quality wine or quality grape juice, quality bread, and just do it with reverence and recognize the huge sacrifice Yeshua made to give us forgiveness for sin. And in doing all of that, remember that he died. He lived a life without sin in order to take our sin or provide a way for us to be set free from our sin. So it behooves us to live a life without sin. You need to take it seriously, folks. If you're trying to be a believer, one of the key things that you need to get right is to get free of sin and get free of error. And that's going to take you some years. It's going to take you several of these fasts and serious prayer and serious effort to get there. And I strongly recommend it. You will bring Father much joy, and you will earn much recognition at the end of your life. I want to talk now about something else which is quite challenging. And, let me talk about it. If you ever get to a point where you are totally sold out to serving Father, there is a no going back, irreversible prayer that you can pray that will lock you into dependence on Father to a much greater level, but which can literally kill you if you get out of line. That prayer is, Father, as I fast, I ask you to put me to death with Yeshua, such that it is no longer I that live, but you that live through me. And the life that I live by emunah, faith in you. If you pray this morning and evening together with the bread and wine for every day of 7 3-day fasts over 6 weeks, by the end of that period you will have reached a significant level of dependence on the anointing of the Spirit of Yah in order to stand. If you do this repeatedly over a series of such fasts over several years, you will come to a point where it truly is Father who is living through you, and where you no longer have strength to exist without him. By this I mean that if something happens that causes the anointing to drain from you, that you will be so weak that you may well die. You should only do this if you're in a stable lifetime covenant union with someone who fully understands the consequences of what you are doing and will stand by you in this prayer for the rest of your life. Alternatively, if you're single, you can pray this prayer, but then understand that you can never join yourself sexually to another human being unless that person is at a comparable level of anointing and closeness to Father to you, and you are absolutely certain Father has approved the union. Then, if any person you join to sexually gets into fear, anger, bitterness, rebellion, turning away from Father, etc., the anointing will drain out of you like someone pulled the plug on a bath of water, and you will suddenly find yourself limp and without strength, because the spirit of Yah that was supporting your partially dead body has drained out of you. Only pray to die with Yeshua if you are certain that you're ready to take the consequences, and that the person or persons that you're sexually one with are 100% informed and committed to standing with you in this prayer. That said, this is a position of great power with Father because it enables him to walk on earth in your body in the same way that he did with Yeshua in particular and with certain others. This is the greatest gift that you can give to Father, but only do it after the most careful consideration. This is also effectively a consequence of a 40-day water-only fast. I prayed that prayer in 2010 when I went on a program of 9 3-day fasts at 7-day intervals, and every morning and every evening, and in fact during the day, I kept praying, Father, put me to death with Yeshua that you may live through me. I only really discovered what had happened when some time later I got married, and my wife was not nearly as anointed as I was, and for weeks I was tired and listless and exhausted. Subsequently, it turned out she was unable to stay in close alignment with me, and on 3 occasions I nearly died. So it is possible to pray this prayer and go against the advice I gave a minute ago. Just be aware that it's difficult. At the same time, while it's sometimes I've regretted praying that prayer, on balance, I'm glad I did it because it's forced me to stay close to Father. I've lain for days in the bed, too weak to really get up, just worshiping and praying and getting my strength back, getting the anointing back. And without having prayed that prayer, without having lost my physical strength, I'm not sure whether I would have stayed as close to Father. It certainly forced me to stay close to him. So to wrap up on fasting, fasting is a critical element of drawing close to Father Yah. There are a variety of forms that a fast can take. Seek Yah to know which is right for you. It is helpful to rehearse the covenant, take the bread and wine morning and evening, and I recommend 7 to 9 3-day fasts at 7 to 10-day intervals as being powerful and convenient. In general, 7 days is good because then you do it the same 3 days of the week every week. Death with Yeshua is a powerful prayer accompanied with fasting, but not to be prayed lightly. And death with Yeshua can lead to death if one loses the anointing, that is, the infilling of the Spirit of Yah. If you've never fasted, I really encourage you to start a fast pretty much immediately. If you fasted but haven't done so for a few years, I would encourage you to fast now. And I would encourage you to think carefully about which form of fast you embark on and to pray about it. So to move on to component 4 of the 7 components for drawing close to Father, we're going to talk about cleansing. This is probably one of the most, if not the most, controversial section in this teaching, which is going to go on for another, 6 or 7 weeks probably. The fact of the matter is, the demonic realm does not want people to have this knowledge. They do not want them to have these processes. So if you find yourself getting uncomfortable or offended, just bind it in the name of Yeshua, as I taught you a few weeks ago, and just tough it out and just stay with me, please. This is really important stuff. It's a harsh reality that the day a person chooses to serve the Almighty Creator, they are grossly contaminated by the satanic realm in which we operate by default. They're contaminated by false beliefs, wrong life practices, spiritual marks, spiritual defilement, and above all, demons. Satanic realm operates by putting demons on people. There's virtually not a human being on the planet who is free of demons. It's the same, it goes hand in hand with getting free of error, getting free of sin. If there's no sin, there's no error, and all the curses have been cut off, the demons have no legal right to oppress you. If you have not achieved those things, then you're going to have demons. If you have a propensity to tell little white lies or whatever, then you've got a lying spirit. You need to deal with it. Let's talk a bit about symbolism and metaphor. In considering what follows, it's important to be aware that the spirit realm is highly influenced by symbolism and metaphor. And therefore, some of the procedures outlined in the next few broadcasts do not make sense from a physical world perspective, but they do work effectively in dealing with the satanic and demonic realm. Be aware that there are all sorts of demonic signs and marks in the spiritual realm that are not visible to us in the physical realm, which are seen by demons and satanic messengers and some senior Satan servants. So in a large measure, the physical rites recommended in the broadcasts that follow are directed at removing these marks and removing demons and the legal rights for demons to attach themselves to one. Cleansing is in large measure about removing the legal rights for demons to attach to you and influence you and removing blockages to you hearing Father clearly. I mentioned some weeks ago the situation I found myself in back in 2010, where I'd been on a particular assignment for Father. I had inaccurately prayed in certain things. I'd been sending demons to the pit for 1,000 years, and I didn't have the authority to do that, and their crimes were not sufficient to warrant that. I should have been praying, Father, send them where you want them to go. The result was the demons had not left me, and I'd amassed a whole army of demons that were sitting on me. But I was living a life without sin. There were also 196 death curses against me. They weren't touching me. I was driving safely. I was living safely. Because I was free of sin, they couldn't touch me. So I can't stress enough, folks, if you're really serious about serving Father, get free of sin, please. It's attractive to get help with what we're talking about here with regard to deliverance, getting free of demons, etc. In years past, before Satan was sent to the pit, there were anointed ministers who could assist with the casting out of demons. The vast majority of these have been trapped by false doctrines and either neutralized totally or in so much error that it is dangerous to associate with them because they may unintentionally leave you with stronger demons than you started with. Accordingly, you're probably going to have to undertake what is presented in these broadcasts, largely on your own, with the caveat that you should find someone who's reasonably strong to cover your back if you can. To start, pray, Father, if there is anyone who I can make contact with who can help me to get rid of these demons and generally clean up spiritually, please lead me to them. In this case, it is particularly important that you pray this in your heart, not out loud, and be alert to meet such a person if they're brought into your life. It may take some time before you come into contact with them, and that could be days, weeks, months, possibly even years, because they're few and far between. You may not know for sure that you have demons. You may not know which demons you've got. If you clean up in the way that I'm going to tell you to clean up in the next few weeks, that will get rid of them. But again, you've got to get free of sin. You've got to get free of the legal rights that they have to oppress you. If you're unable to make contact with an experienced servant to help you and you do not have anyone to cover your back, pray, Father, I intend to get rid of the demons that are in my home or on my body as applicable, and I have no one to cover my back. I ask you to cover my back. Note that if you're a single woman, you can turn to Father as your husband and ask him to cover your back. The prayer would be, Father, I ask you to be my husband and to cover me, protect me, and help provide me for me. This can be a lifetime prayer, but you will still have to have a job. Just coming back to the point about praying silently, the satanic and demonic realm can hear everything that you say, read everything that you write, read everything that you read. So there are no secrets there. The only way that you can avoid them knowing what's going on in your head is to not talk about what's going on in your head, to pray silently to Father. Father, here's your thoughts. Only Father can read your mind. So these prayers, you might want to pray silently so that the forces of darkness don't know what's going on. It's important to understand that this whole so-called spiritual warfare is a bit of a cat and mouse game in the early days. You're trying to get clean. You're trying to get free of sin. You're trying to get free of demons. They're trying to put more demons on there. They're bringing you lies. They're sending people across your path who've got error, who can deceive you. Very, very challenging to get really free and clean. And we'll talk more about that in the weeks to come. Let's talk a little bit about where demons come from. Demons are the spirits of dead unbelievers. Now, that may be a bit of a shock to you if you've never heard that before, but that's what it is. Demons are the spirits of human beings who died without believing in the Almighty Creator. On death, they're taken to the lake of fire and told that this will be their destination in the event that Satan loses the contest. And they're then taken to heaven and shown where they would have ended up if they had believed. They're also taken for an initial induction course in which the rules of engagement are explained and any initial assignments given to them, including mustering them into a particular satanic principality, which provides their overall chain of command. In particular, it is explained to them that if they're obedient and diligent in their work as demons, they may progress through the hierarchy, and if they step out of line, they will be subject to harsh discipline and torture. They then return to their corpse and, depending on circumstances, may remain with their mortal remains as they decay in a remote location, at the bottom of the sea, on the body of a predator, or they may be collected by a witch or Satanist in a hospital, a funeral parlor, a crematorium, etc. In the latter cases, the Satan servant who collects them will assign them to a new host, such as to a believer under anesthetic in a hospital, and with this may come an assignment to specific duties. Many demons are angry at being lied to and go all out to seduce their host to become more evil. Good people, on the other hand, tend to become good demons who may be remorseful at the error, but unable to warn those left behind on pain of extreme torture. Can you imagine what it's like to die, become a demon, maybe sitting on your son or your daughter, knowing that they're going to end up where you are and there's nothing you can do to stop them? I think that must be a terrible situation to be in. All human beings who've not undergone a rigorous process of cleansing are carrying demons. There are over 100 billion demons on earth. That is over 100 billion human beings who have died without knowing the Almighty Creator, and more are being added every second. That gives around 14 demons to every human being. However, the number of demons on human beings in communities where there is no service of the Almighty is relatively fewer than occur where there is service to the Almighty. The majority of believers and the children of believers generally carry a much greater number of demons than unbelievers in communities where there is little likelihood of exposure to the Almighty. The primary goal of demons is to prevent people believing in the Almighty so that they also end up as ancestor spirits. And when they do believe, to keep them in such bondage to sin and problems that they're ineffective in serving the Almighty. It's so important to understand this, folks. This world is spiritually defiled and corrupt. The demons will attack you and affect you. They will lie. They will feed you lies. They will speak to you through your spirit, and you'll think it's the Almighty speaking to you. They will set up traps. They will tell people not to give you money. They will tell. They will distract you from your business. They will, if you're a believer, they will stop unbelievers from doing business with you. There is absolutely no limit. They're human beings. There's no limit to their ingenuity in how they can oppress and attack you. You need to get rid of them. Much of the activity relates to leading believers into the multiplicity of lies that pervade the Christian body of believers, the Muslim body of believers, and the Jewish body of believers. Fundamentally, if there's no human being on earth around May 3003 who is free of sin and serving the Almighty effectively, then Satan wins the contest and Father Yah withdraws from earth, leaving Satan to rule. In reality, it's a pyrrhic victory, because once Yah withdraws, all plant and animal life and all human life will immediately die, and Satan will be left to rule a desolate planet with billions of demons with no transport, and a smaller number of demons transported by satanic messengers, the satanic angels. These messengers will primarily transport the leaders, the masterminds of the satanic kingdom. Expect ongoing terrible battles that exceed the worst excesses of anything seen on television or the movies. Folks, if you're an unbeliever, you don't want to go here. I would suggest that you get on your knees right now, cry out for forgiveness, cry out for Father to accept you, cry out for Him to forgive you, and then turn your life around and seek Father earnestly. And if you're a lukewarm believer who is not actively serving Father, I suggest you do the same. The outer darkness, the place of the foolish virgins in heaven, are not particularly nice places to end up and spend eternity. It's so important that you live your life on the basis of your afterlife, of your eternal destiny. Don't worry about this life other than in terms of the impact that this life will have on the life to come. Paradoxically, the more intensely a person is seeking to serve Yah, the greater the number of demons will be assigned to them, unless they clean up their act to a point where there is no longer a legal right for demons to attach to them, and the demons are forced to leave through appropriate prayer. People who've been strongly serving Satan will also have large number of demons, in that case largely by invitation. Senior Satan servants invite demons to come and dwell in them, that is demon possession, as opposed to dwelling on them, which is demon oppression. Such indwelling demons counterfeit the indwelling of the set-apart, that's Holy Spirit of the Almighty Creator in believers, and give such people, illuminated ones, great powers. These are the illuminated ones in contrast to the anointed ones who serve Father. If you are such a person, in other words, an illuminated Satan servant, and have chosen to serve the Almighty Creator, you will need to take the measures given here and in the programs that follow with regarding cleansing to extreme lengths. You will really, really have to go for it to clean up. And some of the procedures and processes are very, very powerful for this. So it certainly can be done. The thing to keep in mind here, folks, is that the satanic realm rule on earth, except in the lives of believers who've cleaned up their acts. I'm on numerous email lists, and I can't tell you the number of people who've got names like Truth Bearer and Angel of Yahweh and what have you, who are publishing such rubbish, such lies, and they're clearly crawling with demons because they haven't prayed the right prayers, they haven't done the fasting, they haven't done the cleaning up. It's so important to clean up. So we're coming to the end of today's program. To recap with regard to cleansing, we're all defiled when we come to belief, and most believers remain defiled throughout their lives. Symbolism and metaphor play an important role in the spirit realm. It is preferable to get help, but most ministers are also contaminated because of errors relating to Jesus, God, the Lord, the Bible, etc. Demons are the spirits of dead unbelievers. If you are serious about drawing close to Father Yah, it is vital to get rid of all defilement. The process discussed in the coming weeks will enable you to do this. I sincerely hope that after this session, which is probably the most difficult message that I've brought so far, because it's dealing with a subject that a lot of people are uncomfortable with, I really hope after this that you will realize that it is so important to clean up your act, get free of sin, get free of error, get on your knees, pray the right prayers, do the right fasts, and seek to get free of demons, free of curses. If you can do that, you will become a very powerful weapon in the hand of the Almighty, a very powerful servant. And you will be well on the way to becoming his friend. Because think about it. Why would he want you to be his friend if you're crawling with demons and you're full of error? If you want to become his friend, you need to deal with this stuff. So to complete, I've spoken before, but I want to recap. Five key documents. The Creator desires a deep personal relationship with you. We've done a lot of work on the website in the last couple of weeks, and there's now a menu item on this topic at near the bottom of the menu on the website. Seven components in drawing close to the Creator, also near the bottom of the menu, a new menu item. And this is the basis of this series of teachings that I'm giving you at the moment. Recommended worship, I refer you to the teachings on worship a few weeks ago. So important that you sing the right songs. Listening to music that doesn't have words is pretty pointless. Listening to songs where the words are meaningless or don't have power is pretty pointless. You really need to carefully pick the songs that you listen to. The next article, the Creator's name is Yah, the Eternally Self-Existing, at the top of the menu. Understand how the name Yah permeates the history of believers as represented in the Bible. Where will you spend eternity? What is required in order to qualify to sit on a high throne for eternity? Near the bottom of the menu, also a new tab. So important that you read this. I encourage you to go to the website www.endtimeissueministries.org on the main menu. You'll find these things behind the menu tab at the top left or at the bottom of the menu. Transcripts of all the teachings in this series are available on the website at the bottom on the radio page. Recordings of all the teachings broadcast so far are also available on the radio page and also at http://relationshipwithcreatorradio.com. Click on the show and then podcasts. Books constituting a compilation of most writings published since 1998 are available at the bottom of the menu at the compilation of most writings page. I publish regular email articles. Email james@endtimeissueministries.org to be added to the list or to seek counsel or prayer or give me feedback. Visit the website and visit the homepage for more information. In closing, thank you for listening. Please send me your questions on the W4CY webpage. I will answer them next broadcast. Please email me to join the mailing list. If you desire to draw close to the Almighty, please let me know and we can connect by Skype, Zoom, email, telephone so that I can help you with your journey. I would love to do that. I hope to connect with you again next week when we will continue to explore how to become a friend of the Creator. And remember, it doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter your gender, your age, whether you're wealthy or poor, whether you're black or white or anything in between, where you come from, what your tribe is, whatever. Father wants a deep personal relationship with you. You can reach out to Father right now. Get on your knees. Ask him to touch you. He wants to be your friend. He wants you to be his friend. And I hope by now you're starting to see that it's actually not as difficult as it might at first have appeared. It's just about doing some really important things. They're not that difficult to do. Just take some discipline. I really encourage you to go for it. Thank you so much. Good night.
Father, I come to you, lifting up my hands. By your grace I stand.